Will you join me in prayer? Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Soliloquies. Do you ever talk to yourself? Listen to what Jesus says about the unjust judge in our gospel text today. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with all her complaining." My translation. Now, there's one thing that's going on here, and I'll summarize it this way. So Jesus uses this unjust judge in the parable as by way of comparison, from, as they say, from the lesser to the greater. If an unjust judge eventually gives in to this persistent widow, how much more will your heavenly Father listen to you, his children, whom he loves? And that's true. But I also want you to notice something about this parable. Jesus quotes the unjust judge saying something to himself. Saying something to himself. Seven times in the book of Luke, Jesus tells a parable or we see this appear. The first time, and this is the sixth of seven times. The first time is in the house of Simon the Pharisee. It's not a parable. Jesus is there, and Simon the Pharisee is there, and Simon the Pharisee is holding an internal conversation with himself about Jesus. How does Jesus let this sinner approach him? And Jesus listens in on the man's thoughts and kind of calls him on it. Said, you didn't even, this woman's treating me like, well, she's anointing me with oil and you didn't even wash my feet when I came in. Jesus calls him on it. That's the first time. Then we have the parables of the rich fool, the unfaithful servant, the prodigal son, the dishonest manager, this one of the unjust judge, and finally, when Jesus gets to Jerusalem, the parable of the wicked tenants. And in every case, the Lord, who hears our own conversations, our own internal conversations that we have with ourselves, well, he lets us in on them. He lets us eavesdrop, if you will, onto the internal conversations of some fellow sinners. Other guys who plainly have it wrong. And in all seven of these cases, those who are saying something to themselves, or in Greek it's more like saying something within oneself, every case these guys are talking to themselves. And you know what they're not doing? They're not praying. They're not talking to God. They're talking to themselves. And in all seven cases, they've got it wrong. From Simon the Pharisee all the way through the wicked tenants, they've all got it wrong. And in six and a half of these cases, these internal conversations, the guy is leading himself astray. He's leading himself wrong. I guess the only exception would be the prodigal son his conversation with himself is the start of repentance. How often do you talk to yourself? I do it all the time. Internally. And if I'm alone, or I think I'm alone, and I'm doing some chores or walking around outside, I might find myself talking to myself out loud. Come on, Nicole, why did you do that? Or why didn't you do that? Or why didn't you get this done already? You know, that's one of my conversations with myself. Sometimes I convince myself of other things. Bet you do too. Well, if you do that, did you ever consider that, like these seven examples that Jesus gives in the Gospel of Luke, did you ever consider that maybe, just maybe, the guy that you're asking for advice might be giving you bad advice because you're a sinner like me? Did you ever wonder if maybe you're convincing yourself to go down the wrong path? Or even, maybe that, like the unjust judge in this parable, to go down the right path for the wrong reason. The ironic thing, I think, is that seven times in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus lets us know that God is listening in on our conversations, our own internal conversations. Maybe it shouldn't be such a surprise for us. He created us in the first place. And he's all-knowing, so it really shouldn't surprise us that he knows what we think. So, would you ever consider this? If you're going to have this conversation anyway, and you're having it with yourself, why wouldn't you have it with God? That's what prayer is, a conversation with God. And he's listening in anyway. Why don't you invite him into the conversation and talk to him? He's listening because he loves you. And don't you think that maybe instead of taking advice from yourself, maybe it's worth having a conversation with the wisest being in the universe? Maybe it's worth having a conversation with the source of all wisdom. Maybe it's worth having a conversation with the one who created the whole universe, including you. Now, if we just focus on this unjust judge and his internal conversation, if that's all we think about in terms of this parable, we run into comparing God to this unjust judge and starting to think that God, well, he's annoyed by us and all this badgering that we have with our prayers. And he's just worn out, and eventually he'll give in for those of us who outlast him with our prayers. That's not the point of the story. That's not the point of the parable. And if we focus on the widow, well, I might be just in danger of only exhorting you to pray more. And you should pray more. Jesus tells the disciples this parable to show that they must always pray and not grow weary. But I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think one sermon on prayer is going to convince you to pray more. Maybe it will. But with this parable comes a promise. A promise from Jesus. And it's implicit in the text here. And what is that promise? Jesus says it this way: God will provide justice for his chosen people who cry to him day and night. So this parable is more than just about some unjust magistrate who has an internal conversation with himself. It's more than about a judge who finally gives in to a widow who keeps on praying. It's really about what God is like. This parable gives us an example of a characteristic of God. And that characteristic is that He's merciful and compassionate to you, His chosen person, His chosen people. You see, our Heavenly Father isn't like the judge in the parable. He's not this impersonal, self-serving, capricious judge. He's a person who loves, and He loves you. See, your Heavenly Father takes delight in creating you. He wants to have a conversation with you. He listens to you. Do you ever feel in your life, maybe you're talking to yourself because you think nobody else listens to you? God listens to you because He cares about you. He cares for you. He cares for you so much that He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross for you. And Christ goes willingly because He loves you that much. That's how He's merciful. That's how He's compassionate. That's why He listens to you. God will provide justice for His chosen people who cry to Him day and night. And in this parable, Jesus reminds us that Jesus isn't just a one-and-done Savior who comes into this world once, saves it, and leaves. No. He is involved in this world constantly. And He will return speedily to bring justice to His people. But He is involved in this world personally. And you see it in the body and blood of Christ, which is given for you, His chosen people. The ones He comes to save. He comes and He gives you, and He says, "You are mine." In your baptism, you become part of His body. And He gives you faith. So when Jesus says at the end of this parable, He says, "When the Son of Man comes again, will He find faith?" And you know the answer to that. You know the answer to that. Yes. Yes, I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And because of what He has done for me, I will live forever too with Him. That's His promise. It's His promise to you, His chosen people. And you know that you are chosen because of your baptism. And you know that He's still with you and still involved in your life and still involved in this world, remaking it because you can taste it in His body and blood given and shed for you. You know this. God will provide justice for His chosen people who cry to Him daily, day and night. So what about prayer? Remember what Luke here says. He tells you the point of this parable when he introduces it. "And he," Jesus, "told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." Don't lose heart, because God is listening to you, and He is merciful, and He is compassionate, and that is centered in His promise to you through Jesus Christ. And I offer this suggestion. He says, always to pray. You ought always to pray. Why not? Instead of having that internal conversation with yourself, like all these other sinners, like we do all the time, like the sinner. Why not have that same conversation with the God of the universe, who loves you and sent His Son to die for you, and who is going to raise you from the dead to give you justice, to give you mercy, to embrace you in His compassionate arms. Why not? Faithful prayer Faithful prayer comes not from guilting people into spending more time on their knees. Nor does faithful prayer come in trying to annoy God into finally saying, "Uncle." Faithful prayer comes from faithful people. Faithful people who trust the heart of God. A heart that is merciful and compassionate. And we see it in Jesus Christ. When we understand the grace and the generosity of God the Father, we can't help but speak to Him day and night. And such prayers don't come from the hope that we're going to get exactly what we want, exactly when we want it, but from confidence that in Jesus Christ, He will finally and fully make all things right. God grants this to us, His chosen people, who cry to Him day and night because of Jesus. In His name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Chosen people, brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite you to stand as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, You have taught us to pray and You have encouraged us to pray persistently and without fear. Hear the prayers of Your people and grant us all good things for Your church and for each of us as we have need. O Lord, Jacob wrestled with You and would not depart from You without a blessing. Grant us the blessing of Your grace. Grant us faith to hear and to heed the voice of Your word. And give us patience. Give us endurance in time of trial, and give us courage so that we may not despair when we suffer. Lord, in Your mercy. O Lord, Timothy was charged to preach the word in season and out. Grant to Your people faithful pastors who will answer Your call and be faithful voices, speaking Your word to those who have not heard it, to those who are lost in error, to those who have fallen away, and to those who are weary. Bless candidate Rako Zek and his family as they prepare for his vicarage at St. Paul Lutheran Church and Clarence Center. Bless Reverend Dick Pape as he serves as vacancy pastor at St. Paul in Batavia, as they prepare themselves to call a full-time pastor. And bless Hananiah Lutheran Church in Buffalo, and have mercy on the Diggs family during their tribulations. And bless all those who are preparing for full-time service in Your church, and raise up many who will serve the generations to come. Lord, in Your mercy. O Lord, You taught a parable about a woman whose persistence was rewarded with justice. Grant us, O Lord, diligence in prayer and determination in service, that we may not grow weary in doing good, nor give in to disenchantment or disappointment. Lord, we pray that You would forgive us of the many judgments that we blame against You because we are impatient. We pray that You would set our hearts right through forgiveness and trust in You, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray that you would deliver the sick from their afflictions, that you would grant peace to those who are troubled in mind, that you would be with the dying, and that you would console the grieving, especially the families of Mike Kowarko and Michael Smith. Lord, we pray that you would be with Robin, Janet, Russ, Mort, Donna, Mike, June, Dorothy, Bob, Marlene, Ellen, Elise, and Lois. When illness, frailty of mind or body, and the weakness of old age would test us, we pray, Lord, for confidence and in all of your promises, that we may have peace no matter what circumstances surround us. Lord, in your mercy. Unworthy though we are, we come, O Lord, at your own invitation. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are the people of your promise and the sheep of your own flock. You have chosen us. Grant us to receive with faith and in repentance the blessed food of your Son's body and blood, and bring this Holy Communion to bear fruit in our lives of holiness, righteousness, and service. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy to provide us all things as we have need, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the offering.